So we've been in this series that we've been calling Life with God. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the resurrection stories of Jesus and how he has interacted with his disciples after the resurrection. What does a life walking with God look like, and how Jesus has interacted with his disciples and those who had followed him after his resurrection? And so we've looked at, you know, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus on that resurrection day, and Jesus came alongside of them. They didn't recognize who he was, but through that story we learned that a life with God is one of discipleship. It's one of asking questions. It's one of conversation with those who follow Jesus. It's one of wrestling, and also one of scriptures being revealed and taught to us. And then ultimately, through that, Jesus revealed himself to them. Also, because we live in a world that's full of darkness and confusion and brokenness, and it can kind of conflict in our minds when we see something that we want to believe, but we're just not sure, and we can have doubts. We can have these really tough questions that kind of feel like they cut us to the core. And in the story of how Jesus responds to Thomas, it's Thomas pushing and doubting and asking these questions and saying, I'm not going to believe unless I do this. And Jesus meets Thomas where he's at, and Thomas, through that, made the most profound declaration of faith and understanding who Jesus is than anyone in the Gospels up until that point. My Lord and my God. And then last week we saw this story of restoration with Peter, that a life with God is a life of restoration. That Peter, who denied Jesus three times, exactly how Jesus said it was going to happen, Jesus forgave Peter and then just didn't leave him there, but said, Peter, if you love me, if you really do love me, then I want you to do this. I need you to do this. I want you to do this. Do this and follow me, and you'll be restored. That Jesus didn't leave Peter where he was at and said, I'll forgive you, but you've lost your chance to do my work. And at the end of that story, we see that Peter kind of has this renewed call, this renewed instruction of what he is supposed to do. And here's the really interesting thing about that. We start to see a shift in the stories, and in the series, we're going to start to see a shift of what is a life with God. So far, it's been really one of receiving discipleship, receiving revelation, receiving restoration, receiving questions and confirmation of our faith through our faith and our doubts. But then at the end of that story with Peter, Jesus gives a call. Jesus gives a purpose. Jesus gives Peter something to do. And that isn't just to hang out with the 12 disciples. Just kind of stay in your circle. You guys are going to be really great together. No, he says, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep. So we're actually kind of going back in time of the storyline and looking at the initial resurrection story when Jesus was raised from the dead. And this was done so that, because really there's this shift of how Jesus interacts with his disciples at the tomb. And I think it's really, really important that we catch this. And so I'm going to read all four gospel accounts in a row of the resurrection stories. And here's the thing that I want you to pay attention to. I want you to pay attention to the women in this story. I want you to pay attention to the women in this story and how they're responding, you know, where they find themselves. I want you to focus in, and then how they're impacted and what they're told to do. So Matthew 28:1. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, and remember what I have told you." And the women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Mark 16:1. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb, and on the way there, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us to the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were frightened. Luke 24:1. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, and so they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared with them, clothed in dazzling robes. And the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings, and he went home wondering what had happened. John 20:1. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. And he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. And while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed, for until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and she wept, and she stooped and looked in. And she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they had taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" And Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I have yet to ascend to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. Why did the women go to the tomb? Have you ever thought about that? Why did the women go to the tomb? Finish preparation? How come none of the disciples went to the tomb? What was that? Dirty work? They were ashamed because they ran? If we looked at the life of these women and how they followed Jesus, I'm fairly convinced they went to the tomb because they were the most faithful. They were faithful to Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, the woman who had seven demons within her that Jesus cleansed her and then she had been following him. Joanna. Joanna has a really interesting story. You know why? Because Joanna's husband was the steward of Herod Antipas's household. Quite literally an enemy to Jesus. And here's Joanna following Jesus. And in other parts of the scripture, it talks about how Joanna, out of her means, supported the ministry of Jesus. It was Joanna who funded Jesus' ministry. Quite frankly, using the money that her husband got from Herod Antipas for doing the job of stewarding his household. It's a bit ironic. Or redemptive, if you want to think about it that way. I've debated whether or not I was going to say this, and I just kind of feel like it's a bright, sunny day. We can think about these different women. I mean, Jesus had a sugar mama. It was Joanna. And they had these women taking care of them. The disciples were following Jesus. The disciples weren't fishing. The disciples weren't, they weren't making tents. They were following around Jesus. And in the background, poking up in different points, you have these women who were always there. Supporting, making meals, funding, making sure they had a place to rest their head. I mean, where did Jesus get the funds to pay the temple tax? It's likely it was from Joanna. Made sure that they could continue on doing their ministry while not actually doing the physical work. And then Salome. Salome was the mother of James and John. And these women, why did they go to the tomb? Because they were faithful. The disciples didn't go to the tomb until they had heard the report of the women. I mean, these women had supported Jesus' ministry in all kinds of ways that we cannot see. And their faithfulness meant that they kept showing up no matter what was happening. In the background and in the foreground, these women were there time after time after time. Whether it was miracles or teaching or Jesus giving a challenging word, hearing about Jesus' arrest, it was the women who went to his crucifixion. It was the women who went to his tomb. They went because they were faithful. They went because they loved Jesus. They wanted to honor him. They wanted to make sure that all was being done right by him in his burial. It wasn't instruction from the disciples to do this. It wasn't, oh, we need to send representatives to Jesus' tomb, so why don't you guys go? They gathered the spices when they could. Saturday was a Sabbath day. Jesus died on a Friday. They religiously couldn't work or do any gathering or anything on Saturday, which is honestly probably good in the foresight of God. He made a rest period the day after he died. They couldn't do anything. And then when the sun went down, which broke the Sabbath, then they went and they got spices and prepared the spices. The only other time that we hear about spices and burial in Scripture is for King Asa back in the kind of kingdom period of Jerusalem. And so this was a very kingly thing that they were seeking to do. That's the only other time we hear about spices and burial. They just wanted to honor him. They were faithful. So what stood out to you in these four different readings of the initial resurrection story, the tomb being empty? They were witness. They were the first witness to the greatest miracle in human history. They were witness to the most powerful dispensation of power in the history of humanity. Somebody who was completely dead for 3 days, raised to life, but will never die again. It's different from Lazarus, because Lazarus is going to die again. He's going to have to go through death twice, poor Lazarus. But Jesus, the power of God was so much into him that he is never going to die again. Why? Because he's God. That power that, I mean, it caused an earthquake. I mean, that level of power, it caused an earthquake. It shook the earth when that power happened. And then Jesus was gone out of the tomb because it rolled it away and it was empty. So Jesus already started to do his, like, walk through walls stuff. Their faithfulness was rewarded by witnessing the most incredible thing in human history. They were the first to witness it. Because they were faithful. Because they kept showing up where Jesus was. No matter what was happening, they kept showing up. And then not only that, not only were they witness because they kept showing up, they were faithful, and they were able to witness this incredible story. I don't know if you notice in the Gospel of John when Peter and John actually came sprinting to the tomb, and it's kind of funny how John's like, yeah, I beat Peter. I outran him. But then he didn't go into the tomb, right? So he saw and he kind of peered in and he was like, oh, it's empty. And then Peter gets there and Peter just kind of like walks right in, you know, kind of in Peter fashion. And they see and they're like, what is going on? And you know what they didn't do? They didn't linger. They didn't linger. They were like, oh, well, I don't know what happened. This is kind of crazy. And then they went home. But you know who lingered? Mary Magdalene. She lingered and she was weeping and she didn't know what was going on. And do you know what she was rewarded with? The two angels being in the tomb telling her, he's not here. He's risen from the dead. Go and tell them. And then Mary Magdalene runs into Jesus. Her faithfulness was rewarded with an interaction with Jesus. She lingered. And before we get too much further, I don't want us to think that our faithfulness is a transactional relationship. It's not, if we're faithful, then God will do this. Now, there's some of that we have to wrestle with. I mean, we have to understand that, like, people who show up and they pray more and they put more trust in Jesus, there seems to be more things happen in their life. That's because that's not a reward. I've been calling it a reward. It's air quotes. But it's because when you keep showing up in the place that God is trying to do work, you see God at work. When you linger and you're faithful, you get to be witness to incredible, incredible things that God is doing and God wants to do amongst you. And so they had this faithfulness, and because of that faithfulness, they got to see Jesus. They got to hear the rumbling of the earth. And they got to see the guards laying faint like dead on the ground. And the huge stone rolled away. And these angels in dazzling light. I mean, all these different accounts have these different details that we can piece together. And the disciples came and they looked and they were like, well, that's weird. Jesus isn't here anymore. And then they just kind of took off. But then they were given something to do. Go and tell. Go and share. Go and let know. Now, not only is this significant because they were the first to witness it, which means they were being told, hey, you witnessed this. You've talked to me. You've seen this power. Now go and tell the others. Go and tell this good news. Yeah, because they were the first witnesses, but they were also entrusted with this message, which, in that culture, what Jesus is doing here is that usually women wouldn't be entrusted with that kind of important message. This is significant. They didn't say, Jesus didn't draw the men disciples to him. Jesus also didn't say, don't go say, just kind of convince them to show up here because they're not going to believe your message. Now, they had a hard time. They didn't. But all the more, they were told by the angel or by Jesus, go and let them know. Go and share the message. Go and share the good news that I am alive. These women were faithful. They continued to show up where Jesus was at, no matter where he was at. even when they didn't understand, even when they had forgotten that Jesus had said that he was going to die and raise again, it didn't matter. They kept showing up, even to a dead Jesus, let alone a live one. So what do you think the reward of faithfulness is? As we're talking about how do we live a life with God, I think it's, as we look at this story of these women and how they interacted with Jesus and what they got to witness, and they kept showing up, they kept showing up, they kept showing up, they kept showing up. It means we're going to be able to witness something pretty incredible happen. I mean, have you ever skipped an event? You're like, oh, it'll be fine. And then you hear about something that happened, and you're like, oh, I wish I was there. I wish I would have been there. I just had this feeling a few weeks ago. I wasn't able to go. Emma Jane plays soccer in a little rec league on Saturday mornings, that I wasn't able to go. And then she got her first goal. And it was just this feeling of, oh, I wish I would have been able to see that, because I know the joy that she would have had and be able to experience it firsthand. And of course she told me, I like walked in the door and like I couldn't, I got two steps in. And she just hears the door open and she's yelling from across the house running like, I got a goal, I got a goal, I got a goal, right? So I still kind of experienced it, but like that in the moment, the pure, raw joy and excitement when that happened, I missed it. You see, that's how it can be in a life with God. Is that those who are continually faithful, those who continue to show up, they get to witness things that you don't get to witness firsthand if you're not there. You maybe get to see God move in somebody's life and they give their life to the Lord, or maybe you're there and you witness and you hear a really mediocre sermon that the Holy Spirit does wonders with in your life. Or maybe you hear a song that you needed at that point in time, or you heard about this move of the Spirit that you're like, oh, I wish I was there. Or maybe this group that you didn't go to and there's a conversation that had and you're like, oh man, I wish I would have been there for that conversation. When you're faithful and you keep showing up, you get to witness the power of God. Now, that's not to say that, oh, we can't miss anything. But what I think we can learn from this is that when you are faithful to who Jesus is, when you're faithful to showing up where he is and where his people are, you have a lot better chance of seeing something happen. But then faithfulness also comes with a challenge. The challenge is, go tell those who weren't able to witness it firsthand. It isn't this secret that we're trying to keep. It isn't something that we're trying to keep close, you know, to the chest. It's not, you know, it's not like Jesus is saying, be like my mom when she just treasured all these things in her heart and didn't tell anybody. Not that Mary was doing anything wrong, but that's not the instruction that we're getting here. The result of faithfulness isn't just being able to witness things firsthand, it's also then going and telling others who haven't yet. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear what God can do? Can you hear what Jesus did in my life? Did you hear how this happened? Did you hear the conversation that was had and how it impacted this person and this person? Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? I have to tell you the good news. That is the charge of faithfulness. when we show up again and again and again, we're invited into the work of Jesus to tell the good news. It isn't for us to keep. That's why showing up on a Sunday morning or at a group or even at a fun event shouldn't just be movement. Just like showing up because that's what we do. We can show up with the mentality of, I'm trying to be faithful to what the Lord is doing in my life. And not only am I just showing up so that I can just check a box, but I'm showing up so I can try to witness and watch out for the power of God moving so that I can be even more inspired, even more transformed, so that I can go and tell others about this good news of why I keep showing up to this time and this place with this people, with this scripture, with this power inside of me. It is a call to share. And we can be faithful. I mean, think about the disciples. They heard about something and they went and they were like, oh, man, that's crazy. And they just like walked home. So we can do that. Man, men are really getting a bad rap in these stories. We can do that. Or we could linger. We could show up with an anticipation that something is going to happen. We can show up and think, God is going to do something. I'm going to open up my heart. I'm going to pray ahead of time. I'm going to intercede on somebody else's behalf in this room that God does something, that the power of God breaks through in somebody's life, and we can see a life transformed in the here and the now. That something is opened up. That something is broken up. Maybe there's in the hardness of our hearts, a crack is formed. Maybe in the brokenness of our life, we just feel the loving touch of Jesus in our life, mending a wound. It's a call to faithfulness. It's a call to showing up no matter what is going on. It's then also a call to have an expectation. An expectation that God is going to do something. Jesus is going to show up. And it's a challenge to share the good news with what you've just witnessed firsthand. The restoration that you saw, the doubts that you've seen cleared up, the confusion or uncertainty that you've seen made right, the healing that you've seen happened, the power poured out. A life with God is a one of sharing the good news. So why did the women go to the tomb? Because they were faithful. And they witnessed the most spectacular thing in the history of humanity. Because they were showing up to where Jesus was. And then they went and told the good news. Exactly how Jesus instructed them to. This, just as much as what happens to our life, is part of the life with God. It is a life of testimony. It is a life of witnessing, of sharing, of having this excitement of the good news that's happening in our lives and the life of the church and the life of the people around us. So that the world might come to know that a relationship with Jesus is more attractive and fulfilling and purposeful and abundant than any life that it can offer. Life with God is one of faithfulness. And we probably won't see some of the benefits of faithfulness unless we're actually faithful. So let's take the example of this woman to heart. To show up even when we're like, this is going to be painful. They knew they were going to cry. They knew it was going to be hard, but they showed up to the tomb of Jesus because they were faithful to him. They showed up to the cross even though they knew the pain and suffering that they were going to experience, that they were going to see Jesus go through. They kept showing up. So from Scripture to you, my call to you is keep showing up. Keep being faithful. Increase your faithfulness. Ask the Lord where he is calling you to be more faithful in your life, because if anything can be seen from the result of that, it's that you're going to experience the power of God in your life because of your faithfulness. But then you're going to be asked to share it, to let people know about it. Because that same power that you experience can be experienced by them as well. They were faithful because they just kept showing up, and they loved Jesus to show up no matter the case. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would draw us to you in greater faithfulness. And God, I want to ask that you would forgive us for our heart or attitude of being frustrated of why you're not doing something in our life, and maybe it's because we're not really being faithful. We're not looking for it. We just want you to do something without us putting into it. So God, we'd ask that you would call us, that you would help us to experience the depth of your love for us so that we might be spurred on to keep showing up no matter the case, no matter the reason, no matter the circumstance. God, help us to show up expectant that you are going to do something. Help us to be aware of your activity, of your power, of your movement in our lives and in the lives of others. God, help us to have the boldness and the courage to share the good news that we experience and that we see. That we're just not trying to share good news that we read out of the Bible from ink on a page that's a really great story, but it's backed up by a power and a lived experience that changes our life. So God, help us. Draw us close to you. And help us to be faithful to you, so that we might continue to catch glimpses of your power and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You're